Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. The Reverend Phil Krupski is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 17. It is the scripture gospel reading normally appointed for Thanksgiving. Now on Jesus' way to Jerusalem, he traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has saved you." O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're gathered here today to be thankful, and those of you who are sitting in the wrong spots with the sun shining in your face are probably not very thankful right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pride ourselves often on being multitaskers. In our culture today, where we are so exposed to so many different avenues of information and information coming to us on a regular basis, lots of tasks, lots of expectations come into our lives, and we sort of proudly say that we can handle it all, and that we can take care of the chaos, and that we can address it all. Nothing slips through the cracks. But is that really the case? Or is it true that a lot of times we let things fall? Maybe not the things that are big and public. We take care of the expectations of a boss at work or whatever. But are there things that we are letting slide because of all the noise, because of all the chaos? I introduce that to you today because in looking at this text this week, and as a pastor in a congregation for years, I preached on this text dozens of times in my life at this point. And it's amazing how God's word can bring something fresh and new. And as I was reading through it this week and meditating upon it, I thought about the fact that there was an awful lot of chaos going on in this text. First of all, it begins in the general context that Jesus is resolutely setting himself to go to Jerusalem. This is his final approach, using airline language. He's going to Jerusalem to die on the cross with all that that meant, all the suffering and difficulty. And the tension was at a high point all over Jerusalem. Jesus' travels take him to the edge between Samaria and Galilee. Now, that border between Jewish territory and Samaritan territory was probably much akin to what we would imagine if you went to the DMZ between North and South Korea these days. You know, I don't think that I would walk right up to the edge of the DMZ and say, "Should I or shouldn't I?" and step across that line. You stay away from it. Because you know, if you go across the line, you're going to get hurt. Jews and Samaritans stayed away from that line. Jesus chose to walk right along it. And this wasn't the first time. You know, we can think of Jesus and the woman at the well in Samaria, where he'd even sort of drifted, meandered over into the Samaritan territory before. So you wonder if Jesus' disciples and whoever else was walking along were sort of on edge. What are we doing so close to this danger zone?
Jesus chooses this border on purpose because it is his mapped out plan from all eternity to bring the gospel to light through his life and death and resurrection. And then there's the confrontation with the lepers. In our culture, we don't know much about leprosy unless you've been a foreign missionary exposed to leper colonies. You probably don't know that much about leprosy. Infectious disease, we know that. Bacterial caused, a deadly pathogen if it's not addressed. Today we can with antibiotics. Back then they didn't have that. Incredibly contagious, airborne contagious. And so Moses had prescribed that there was to be an exile, a separation. If somebody had leprosy, they had to be exiled from the community. The rabbis, in thinking about this, said, well, we recommend that and demand that the lepers stay at least four paces away from those who are not lepers. Despite the fact that they didn't possess a lot of knowledge about airborne pathogens, that was probably pretty good advice. If one of you were to sneeze right now with the bright sunlight coming in, you'd see the particles flying through the air. Four paces away, you're probably pretty safe. But as those guys come forward and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, the tension would have risen to say, oh, I hope they don't get too close. Oh, and did we remember to pay attention to the fact that nine of them were Jews and one a Samaritan? And certainly that introduces this hostility again. Hostility of Jews and Gentiles not getting along, stretching all the way back to the time of Babylonian captivity, the misfits left by the Babylonians intermarry with all the pagans around and somehow end up in this land of Samaria. Jews didn't like them, Samaritans didn't like Jews. What a chaotic mess. And yet for whatever reason, unnamed by Luke in this gospel account, these Samaritans and the Samaritan and the Jews beg for Jesus to show them mercy. Why? What did they know about Jesus before this? Luke doesn't tell us. My guess is that their hope from Jesus was probably nothing more than just that they could have relief from their disease. A blessing from this one who has reputation of being able to bless. So Jesus orders them to go to the priest, again, according to Mosaic law. Show yourself before the priest. And when the priest gives the declaration that you are clean, by that declaration of cleanness, you will be restored. There's a picture there now, isn't there? The declaration of restoration and cleanness in God restores people to their community. So they go to the priest. But have you ever thought about which priest? You see, Jews would go to the Jewish priest. The Samaritan couldn't go to the Jewish priest. He wasn't allowed there, so he would have sought out a Samaritan priest. And so despite the strangeness of this thing that when they had leprosy, Jews and Samaritans could live in the same colony, suddenly now, in the presence of a blessing that they had hoped for, suddenly now they split. Jews go their way, the Samaritan goes his way, and the Jews run off in order to pursue the rejoicing and the celebration of the blessing that they had gotten. And now left alone, and I think that's key to this account, left alone, this Samaritan finally has the quiet vacuum time to think about more than just the blessing, but also the blesser, the one who had given him what he had hoped for. The blessing of that day was more than just that this Samaritan leper had finally gotten clean skin. The blessing of this day was that he had come into confrontation with the one who could give him this blessing. And now only one, the Samaritan, is properly mindful of the one who just gave him life. In addition to this tension between Jews and Jesus, which is really the reason why the Holy Spirit moved Luke to record this in the narrative of this gospel, I point out that we can also look at something else. In the chaos of the crowd, the nine got lost and failed to be able to acknowledge the one who gives blessings. And I think it's important for us to take very careful notice of that, because we live in a world that is very much influenced by crowd. After all, why would 60, 80,000, whatever it is that can fit into Lambeau Field, go sit there for 4 hours in 15 below temperatures just to watch their team lose? Ooh, did I say that? It's a crowd factor. It's crowd movement. It's peer pressure. Why is it that so many people will head out and shop on Friday? There's some kind of crowd influence that makes that seem like that's a good idea. And I would ask you to think for yourself about whether even Thanksgiving dinner, as so many people gather in crowds and even overwhelm seating capacity of some homes tomorrow, whether even some of that is simply crowd pressure. But in the midst of that crowd, do we actually hear Jesus? Do we actually acknowledge the one who gives blessing? Or are we just preoccupied with the blessing? Maybe there's token effort tomorrow before dinner where you will go, where somebody will say, before we can pray, you know, the steam's rising from the turkey and everybody's ready to dig in. Somebody says, oh, wait, before we can pray, everybody's got to say something that they're thankful for this year. So everybody goes around and the pressure's on. Everybody knows the routine, the drill. And so they're kind of trying to come up with their unique presentation of how they feel a blessing at that moment. But could it be that even after all of those blessings are acknowledged, that no one around that table has actually acknowledged the blesser, the one who gave those things? In all piety in our life, we may acknowledge our blessings from God, yet never once acknowledge the master, the blesser, the source of all mercy. That's the theme that flows through this narrative in Luke. But then we have to ask ourselves the question, why did the Samaritan remember? Well, maybe lots of reasons, but maybe one of the key reasons is that when those other nine left with all of their noise, in the quietness of being alone, this one Samaritan could actually hear the word of Jesus. The same word of Jesus that had caused his skin to suddenly become smooth. And, you know, in the way God thinks about that, I bet he had the best complexion ever after that moment. And in the quietness, though, of that moment, he could move beyond simply looking at that nice skin he now had. But that word of God was impacting that life. The same word that caused his skin to be clean was the same word that could cause faith to rise in that man's heart. That same powerful word of God was enough to accomplish God's eternally planned outcome, that this one man would believe and so have life. The effective word of God saved this man. Rise and go. Your faith has saved you. Most English translations get it wrong and say healed you. It's not the word, it's saved. Rise and go. Your faith has saved you. And once again, the word of Jesus had touched a Samaritan and brought life through faith, the faith that would believe in Jesus as the crucified and risen one who gives forgiveness of sins. Maybe we learn in this story that the power of a crowd is not always healthy for us. Maybe sometimes it is good to be quiet and alone, because maybe the power of the crowd moves us to only think of the blessing rather than the blesser. And yet we have been given that same word of God that was given to that leper. When God speaks, something happens. When God's word is spoken to us, it gives us the gift of repentance. And we repent of being preoccupied with the blessings. And once again, settling to that good place. That place where we acknowledge the one who has given us those blessings. We can acknowledge Jesus as the Savior of our lives. The Savior of our lives. Not just the one who scratched an itch with a blessing. And in that word produced faith in us. Tomorrow's challenge is not about trying to come up with your proclamation of how you have been uniquely blessed this year. But your challenge is to confess that you know the one who did the blessing. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Jesus, the merciful one. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Hans and Gretchen Trinkline, who are serving the Lord in South Korea. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.